Well, it seems like the world is on fire because even the ballot boxes are on fire. Local officials said three ballots were damaged in Portland. What? Chaos in Portland? How can it be when there's such an awesome spirit there? And in Vancouver? What? The People's Republic of Canada has anarchists in it? Authorities say it's unclear if the incidents in the two cities are related, and they're investigating the motive. Well, they're only a couple of hundred miles away, and they are on the left coast. Hello, friends. I'm Troy Brewer, and I'm coming at you strong today here from the studios at Open Door Church. This is episode number 81, and I want to say welcome to the Pulse. Dun, dun, dun. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Hey, listen, while we're doing all this, I want to give everybody just a minute to chime in here and to let everybody know what's happening here today and to help tell you that. I will just have Brother Zach Rippey repeat everything I just said. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me today. Thank you for everybody that's here today. It's going to be a great show. We have some good stuff happening. If you're watching right now, go ahead and share this. Be a media missionary and share the content on your Facebook. Share it with a friend. Get it out there. We're 1 week away from the election, and we definitely want more eyes to see what the kingdom is putting out there to the world today. So we see a lot of people chiming in right now to comment, so we appreciate you. Make sure you like and comment and share all over, and we got some big things happening.
We do, and we actually spent a couple of hours this morning in meetings mapping out all the media we have coming up and some special events, including, oh my gosh.
This is going to be cool, man.
Okay, so what are we calling this Election Day coverage thing?
So we're calling it the election. We're calling it the Prophetic Pulse Election Night live stream, and we're going to be calling it...
The battle for 47.
It's going to be good.
Okay, so it's going to be like a five-hour media event. Yes, and we have a whole room full of people that's going to be here. We're going to be here. And then I have friends from all over the world, including...
Joseph Z,
Alan DiDio. We have even talked to Eric Steckelback. There's a good chance he's going to be joining us. Let's see. I'm going to get Paul Wilbur to chime in.
Trying to get Patricia King.
We're getting Patricia King. I'm just going to get my friends, Darren Stott, which I'm not really his friend. You know, he needs friends.
Yeah.
Bad. He does. Let's talk. Hey, can we just pray for Darren?
Lord, bring him friends.
Bring him friends, God.
Good friends like
he
us.
He needs friends. Yeah. Friends that will never publicly berate him.
Yes.
In their media streams. And we're going to have the amazing Benjamin Diaz. Man, you know that cat.
Yeah. He's here today.
He is here today. And he is going to be with us. Anyway, I'm going to ask Katie Souza if she'll join us. I'm going to have a whole bunch of people. We're going to do that. And we're going to have a watch party, a prophetic watch party.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So we're going to have a boiler room. So what's your name?
I'm Brian.
Brian Schwartz.
Yes.
Thank you.
Schwartz be with
May
you.
May the Schwartz be with you, sir.
Yes, and also with you.
Thank you very much. Dude, I'm loving your beard, man.
Hey, man, I'm letting it go.
I know you are, man.
I don't know how far, but
do you still take a shower and all that, too?
I mean, sometimes.
You have other forms of hygiene,
I do.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to be here that night, too.
He is going to be here with us that night.
That's
and
so
you are on staff here at Open Door Church.
Yes, sir.
And you are one of our pastors here. Which, by the way, we had an incredible pastoral meeting today, didn't we?
Oh, it was awesome.
It was good.
We got a hungry group, man. We got great leaders.
Yeah, big part of my team is leaving tomorrow for Mexico. We're about to rescue three more kids. So here within the next few, we know where they're at. We're going after them. We're going to get them. We're about to rescue three more kids. And I'll be giving details about that as well. But then you were also a part of the meeting we had this morning on the Election Day coverage.
Yeah.
And it was your idea to have the boiler room. Tell us about that.
You know, Spurgeon, when he would preach in his church, he would always have them in the basement. And it was a group of prayer warriors. They called it the boiler room. So as he's preaching above ground, they're underground praying. And so, you know, election night, it's going to be all about not just prophetic insight, but also prophetic prayer. And we're going to have a whole team in our white tent down there. They're going to be tearing it up for the kingdom.
So we're going to have a camera that's going to be going there. We're going to be giving, hey, man, when prophetic words come out, we're going to do that kind of thing. Then we're going to go back to the party room that is here, and we're going to have all the staff of Open Door Church is going to be here. And then we're going to be moving back in here, and we're going to be giving away prizes.
Yep. Giveaways, prizes.
Gosh, what else are we doing? There's
it's going to be a night of fun. We're going to have basically like a prayer tent down there, intercessors in the prayer tent. So we're going to have a camera go down there and just really capture what the Lord is saying. Or we're going to have opportunities for people to partner with us that night. We're going to have special guests pop in all over. And we're also going to have live updates so that people don't have to watch the mainstream media for their news that night. They can hang out with us and see what the Lord is really communicating in the spirit.
Okay, so that's something we've never done before. We know how important that this election is.
Mm-hmm.
And We also, I truly believe that this election is up to the church.
That's right.
I believe that all. I mean, I truly believe it. I mean, I do.
Yeah.
Either the church is in and America wins, or the church is out and America loses.
Yeah.
I heard Mario Murillo say years and years and years ago.
Turn off your phone, please.
I will. Don't worry about it. So I'm having brilliant thoughts.
No.
I am.
No.
It's like ding.
Yeah, and I like how we're doing the battle of 47 too, because then you know, with how much you're into the numbers and the signs of the times, we're gonna have a big prophetic night of giving insights of what that number means and what it represents for the nation.
I'm gonna ask Joseph Z to bring a prophetic word concerning the future of our nation. I'm gonna ask Alan DiDio, all these other guys. I'm going to have people from all over the world. It's going to be. So, guys, look, you don't want to miss this. So make plans right now on Tuesday, November the 5th, to join us from 5 o'clock until 6 o'clock. It's going to be exclusive for Third Stage, and it's like a preview. But then from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock, it's going to be across every form of social media we have. Plan on sharing that. Plan on sharing that. Mm-hmm. And plan on being a media missionary and getting the word out. And, just make plans on, hey, listen, man, the sky's not falling. The kingdom is coming. Mm-hmm. There's two things that you and I need to be prepared for right now. And Schwartz, you and I have had this discussion. We need to be fully engaged in this electoral process, because if the church is out, it's over.
Absolutely.
Okay. Secondly, we also need to be prepared that if it doesn't go the right way for the church or for America, that we can stand strong the moment that we get the bad news.
Yes.
If you can't do both of those two things, you need to pull up your big boy pants, mm-hmm. and you need to be prepared. And so this is a dangerous day that all of us are living in. It's dangerous times. Hang on a second. I'm getting a phone call here.
Please do what I think you're going to do.
Wait a minute. I got to see who this is. Hang on a second.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello? 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 Okay.
Yo, you didn't do it. You were supposed to do Jesus. Is that you?
I'm so sorry.
You were supposed to do the thing that the dino doctor did.
I so would have done that, but I was confused because it was some chick with an Indian accent going, "This is Johnson County Sheriff's. That is not Johnson County." I know what Johnson County sounds like, and it doesn't sound like Vishakhapatnam, India. Oh, this is the sheriff's county.
They're having budget cuts, man.
I'm like, why would the Johnson County Sheriff's Department?
Everybody's outsourcing.
Get Indians to do that? Why would you do that? Like that? So I was confused. That's what that was all about. Anyway, guys, I want to welcome you here to the Pulse today. We do have a really good program here for you today. We're going to pray. We're going to be full of hope. I got a special guest that's going to be joining me, but we're also announcing our great big media event that's going to take place on November the 5th. On November the 5th, election night, from 6 o'clock until 10 p.m. across all of our social media platform, and exclusively from 5 to 6, the preview for just our Third Stage participants at ODX.TV. Guys, this is a place where you call in. Guys, the number is on the screen. It's 877-413-0888, 877-413-0888. And perhaps you would like to stand with us. Now, the reason why I'm asking that is because we're about to rescue three kids. We're about to rescue three. Three that we have not rescued yet. I have a team that's going to Mexico tomorrow. Shay just walked in the room. She's here. We heard the news of that this morning. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's all a big money pit, this entire thing is. That's why so few people are committed to stay with it for 30 years the way that we have, because it's just a money pit. Well, dude, you raised your own kids. Schwartz, you've actually raised seven kids.
Seven, man.
Seven kids.
Seven. It's a lot, dude.
It is a lot. Okay.
I feel trauma.
Did you? No, I bet. No. I bet you do. Do you have a budget to raise seven kids?
No. Oh,
okay. I just thought I'd check on
that. Not a chance.
Yeah.
It's supernatural, man. I mean, but I do know this. When I'm required to give all I got.
Come on, man.
And the Lord sees that, and somehow he multiplies it.
Yes, he does.
And it's the same thing with what you're talking about. He doesn't need what we don't have. He requires what we do have. Go all in with it.
We have over 4,000 kids under our care. You've been with me to Uganda. You've been with me in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Have you been with me to the Amazon?
I have not yet.
You've been with me some other place too. I'm trying to think where it was you went. You actually went all over. Look, Ben's getting so mad. He's like, Dad, turn your phone off.
I'm about to start throwing stuff at you.
I don't know why that gets on your nerves so much. I mean, look at the hat that you're wearing.
It's beautiful, isn't it? And no, I did not change. Did not dye my hair. This is just a hat. So,
you know. He's eating the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. More proof. The border needs to be closed.
Yes.
The boys are back in town, guys. It's an all-male edition here today. Ben, I know that you have people that are watching online.
Oh, I do, I do, I do. Guys, be sure and tell us where you are so I can give you a shout-out, such as Helen from Oklahoma, Reese from California, Ivy from Garland, Texas, Debbie from Alabama.
Helen from Oklahoma. Isn't her last name Wheels? No, that's somebody I used to date. Never mind.
Wow.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Tracy from Kansas City, Cheryl from Michigan, Jocelyn's over in Houston, Texas, Nancy from Indiana, Lisa from Illinois, Baker is driving down to Waco right now, Pablo in Argentina, Robin in Arizona, Daniela from South Dakota, Nash from Louisiana.
South Dakota?
South Dakota.
Yeah. So this young man grew up in South Dakota.
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was the name of your town that you grew up in?
Miller.
I thought it was like Desolation. You come from a place called Desolation. Like so you were from Miller?
Miller. I grew up, but it was a town about 1800, and then we had a little suburb called St. Lawrence.
God.
I was technically in St. Lawrence.
Do you know what's amazing? I nearly named Ben Miller, but I didn't think Miller Brewer would be a good name for one of my children.
Great name.
Great name.
Well, I'm on a roll today.
Yeah, I know,
man.
You are.
I'm telling you, Zach, just the spirit that comes from you part of it, man.
It's I believe that. Thank you.
Who else do you have in here, man?
Okay, let's see. We're going to start with Daniela. We have Naz from Louisiana.
Frank in Uganda, man.
Yeah.
Frank in Uganda is here. Frank,
that's
brother Frank.
Right there.
Hey, man, we love you, buddy. Love you, man. Praise God for you. You met Frank when
I
you were there.
Oh, yeah, right what's on. Up, Frank?
It's good to see Frank. Right on.
We have Luz from Mexico. Looks like a Cunha. Then we also have...
Troy Brewer is on here. I see that.
Ooh.
You're 80.
I love that guy.
Impressive today.
Yeah, Reese Irish.
He stays on
here.
Twitter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he does. Brother lives on Twitter.
Anyway, we have Nicole from Iowa, Clayton from Alabama, Caleb from Maryland, Tab is over in Tennessee. Then we have Chad from Tennessee also.
Okay, so this is up in the news here today. Guys, let's talk about this real quick. Witches report that their spells against Trump aren't working, that he has a shield. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen it. I saw this on the 700 Club yesterday. And we do have... Well, I actually shared this on my social media. If you guys are not following me on Twitter, which is now called X, is what that's called. I posted this yesterday. I don't know if we posted it on the rest of my social media. We probably did because I got an awesome team. But the bottom line is these witches are complaining that he has some kind of a shield around them. And they actually need the church to participate more in Halloween.
They understand the power of agreement, man.
They do understand the power of agreement. So what do you think about that, Swartz?
I think prayer is a powerful, powerful, powerful weapon. And they're bumping into that. And that's good.
Psalms 91, right?
Yes, sir.
I had a witchcraft incident happen last night. I told a couple of people. I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had a bad dream, and I woke up in the middle of the night. And I mean, and it was a witchcraft dream. I knew it was about witchcraft. And when I woke up, there was a bad spirit in the room, and I had to get up and walk around the house in my drawers and threaten the devil like the punk he is and say, all right, you're going to wipe me up. You got to look at me in my drawers. That's what you get.
Yes.
I bless you in Jesus' name.
Back when we lived in Joshua, he used to walk around the backyard like that too.
Well, I had a big devil to fight, man, and I had a prayer sword, and I'd get a fire going, and I'd walk around I've got a prayer pistol now.
You would take the prayer sword out and your britches?
I would, man.
Does your prayer crystal have a flashlight on it?
I had so much demonic stuff that would be attacking me because we were doing all this work and saving kids out of the cartel, and there's next level witchcraft. Yeah. And be like, you can't sleep through it. You know, you got the old choker demon. Anybody know about the old choker demon? I know all about the old choker. I could talk about blurry stuff all day long.
It's like
I don't want to hear about it. Well, I can just tell you all kinds of mess, and it's witchcraft is what it is. And I was out there with my prayer sword, and I had my prayer pistol, which you've seen my awesome prayer pistol, right? Where I walk around, I pray in the name of King Jesus and declare the spirit of the living God. It's awesome. And I was walking around the fire, and I was like, you wake me up, you're going to pay for it. I'm going to pray for everybody that has cancer.
Yes.
I'm going to pray for everybody that's not saved. I'm going to pray for breakthrough. I'm going to declare the goodness of God. And the devil's like, make it stop, make it stop. No, you woke me up.
Exactly.
You interfered, and you trespassed.
Yep, it is trespassing.
You don't trespass like that.
And that's what they're encountering. They're trying to trespass, go into territory that they're not allowed.
That's why. That's why we don't watch pornography, mm-hmm. because you're into hell's territory.
Absolutely.
It's trespassing. You don't belong to that territory. It is consent.
When we give consent, it gives them legal access to at least mess with us.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can't take us out. We know that. But if they can convince us to self-destruct, that's been the war.
That's the war.
All the way back in the garden.
That's what it is.
If we start partnering with their methodology and start self-destructing.
So I'm out there and I'm going around the fire and I'm praying. I'm speaking in the Holy Ghost. I'm making declarations. And I'm just, you know, hookah masai and shundai and losing my mind, walking around this fire, prophesying, praying. And I'm like sick and tired of these kids being abducted. I'm sick and tired of the sexualization of children. I'm sick and tired of these demons coming after my house. I'm sick and tired of being living under this poverty thing. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I'm walking around doing that. And then I hear this, look, there he is. And I have this fence and my neighbors were like looking through the fence. And I was like, who's there? And they're like, shh, be quiet, be quiet. And they were old people. Like, shh, be quiet.
One of them
and I was like,
survived the
Holocaust. Yeah, one of them was a Holocaust survivor. Yeah.
Wow.
She's a handful,
too. She thought we were nuts.
Yeah, she thought we were nuts. That woman was straight up nuts. And wow. So I loved her, and we supported them. We blessed him. But, I mean, she actually had the tattoo on her on her arm. And she was an amazing human being. She's since passed away, but we loved her. She loved my kids. Mm-hmm. But she never did really like me, did she?
No.
No, she didn't like me much.
She just didn't know you.
Well.
Oh, no, she did.
She knew you.
Okay.
Her husband was his principal.
Yeah, her husband was my principal, and oh, wow. I used to live in the spanking line there, and he had a whole bunch of bad stories about me when I was a young man, but I was framed.
Of course you were.
I was framed. Anyway, yeah, the neighbors were like, oh, my God, what's he doing? And, I mean, I could, you know, anyway. So I had neighbor issues because I'd get out and fight the devil at night. But I was a young man. I mean, I didn't have, like, a community and a team like I have now. Mm-hmm. You know, I was my dude.
So when you woke up, like, even with witchcraft stuff this morning,
yep.
What weapons do you pull out? So I think that's important. A lot of people, when they're getting pushed on, don't know how to respond.
You have to understand it, that number one, there's an legal issue involved. Mm-hmm. And so what the devil will try and make you think it's all about is shame or fear, mm-hmm. or intimidation or regret or it is not about all those things. Those things are emotional things that he uses in order to legally interfere, mm-hmm. within your life. So if you're going to stand in a legal court with God Almighty and with against your adversary, the devil, which is a legal term, you have to understand that you are justified by Christ.
Yes. Legally acquitted.
Legally. You Colossians are legally 2:14. Acquitted. That's exactly
everything right. That stood against us, nailed to the cross, taken out of the way.
It doesn't matter what you feel.
Yeah.
And see, that's why everybody's like, but your feelings are so important. Your feelings will trick you.
There's no doubt.
Your heart is more evil than you can even conceive. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that.
Yeah.
And it's like you can't even comprehend how wicked your own heart is. And that whole thing within your emotional realm. Okay, so you wake up and you feel this horrible spirit of terror and intimidation and impending doom. Something bad's fixing to happen. Listen, you stand in the legal place of what Jesus has accomplished, mm-hmm. and you be the child of God that God Almighty has called you to be.
Yeah.
And you know the word of God. You are not a little boy anymore. You feel like a little boy when you wake up and you're scared.
Yeah.
And there's something scary going on. And you're like, oh, well, because I'm afraid, I must not have any faith. Baloney. That has what you feel, mm-hmm. has nothing to do with if you have faith or not. You have to submit your soul to your spirit, and your soul is your feelings realm. It has to be bishoped by your spirit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I stand up. I renounce any form of covenant.
Yep.
Any form of agreement that I didn't know any better. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Who knows what I did? Who knows? There's not much telling. I'm kind of a knucklehead, right? And like, I renounce those things. I also draw upon the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
I speak the word of God. Mm-hmm. I release angels. I give, mm-hmm. I give every form of heaven that I have any form of stewardship in, yes. permission to be made manifest.
You literally engage in partnering with the availability of all these resources. But I think that the enemy wants to shut you down through fear, shame,
oh, yeah.
so you don't access.
Yeah, so that you don't.
It's being aware of what we have access to in prayer and intercession, confession, all those things. Like Jesus, when he faced the enemy in the wilderness, what did he do? He didn't use his emotions. He used the word, right? The living, breathing word. So I think that's in a season like we're in right now, even what these witches are encountering, they're encountering the reality of a superior realm. Right? They're operating from an inferior realm. They have the methodology, but they don't have the might that we have through Jesus.
Yeah, and it shows the power of prayer over the president, because it shows that if you've noticed recently, he's been incorporating a lot of pastors into his life and into his walk and even his campaign right now. We saw last night in Atlanta with Joseph Z and them were there. Like, he's incorporating a lot of people into his life to lay hands on him. Even a Latino summit that he had where a bunch of Latino leaders were praying over him. Yeah. So clearly that's working. And if the witches can tell, that that obviously means that something's working and there's something that that God is putting around this man. It's, I mean, assassination attempt. I mean, come on. God fully protected him in that spirit too. It's like, there's something that's really spiritual about this election.
Oh no, there's, yes, there is. There sure is. That's really good. Well, you know, if Kamala would not say you're at the wrong rally. Obviously there's a Christian, you're at the wrong rally, buddy. Yep. You know, I loved what they said the other day when they start off the Trump rally, they said, oh, are there any Christians? Well, y'all, you guys are definitely at the right rally, right? Like, wow, that was
so good.
That was a silly thing for you to say, Kamala. And then in the midst of all that, and also too, you don't dare protest or stand against the fact that they will sacrifice babies at the beginning of their conventions and pull up, hey, listen, we're here to say, listen, come and have an abortion. We'll call that freedom. Ignore the fact that it is the death of a child and that these demons require the blood, the blood of children, as they always have throughout the centuries.
Did you see she brought up a whole bunch of abortion doctors at the last rally she did too? Over 200 of them. And then somebody was like passing out in the crowd and they're like, oh, I think she needs help. They weren't even able to go help a person. Yeah, even though they're in like lab coats,
they're like, we don't know how to save anybody's life. We only know how to murder people.
We're not here to resuscitate.
Yeah, we don't know how to save a life.
Yeah,
we man, that's like a Travis Scott concert, right?
Man, but think about that—the public nature of that offering made to Moloch.
Like that
was good. I mean, these are offerings.
No, they are offerings,
and it's public. And that's what I mean. The enemy understands the need for that agreement and that public offering.
Yeah, and if we partner with that as a nation, like that's where the doom and gloom comes in. But
yeah, if the church is not going to be the church, this United States of America is toast. And the America doesn't know it. The world doesn't appreciate it. They think that we're a nuisance. But the only reason this nation is held together in any form whatsoever is because of the body of Jesus that's within it. And I totally believe that.
Yeah.
2000%. I do not believe that America can survive without the church. Democracy without godly people involved in it and influence it is nothing but a mob rule.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you can go to Portland and see what mob rule is all about. Oh, it's beautiful. It's incredible. Except for people using a bathroom on the streets. That part's not very much fun to look at. And burning buildings and burning ballots and the whole socialist agenda. And if you don't get the vax, we will fire you and we will kick you out of the military and we will do this and we will do that and we'll do. Oh, by the way, wear a mask. And by the way, your nose is showing. I can see a little bit of your nose right there. And I'm not going to serve you unless you do that. They are totalitarian puppets of the devil.
That's right.
And for us not to recognize that
and speak into that
and speak into that, go, can I tell you what this is? This is stuff I will rebel against all day long, because greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. I will not comply.
Reach.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I will not. I will not. I got a different spirit within me.
Yeah.
Hey, man, can you put your big giant arm down so that people don't see that, please? Thank you. I don't like that. Ben, I know that you have some announcements that you're going to help me announce here today.
Yes, guys, do not forget, we will be doing the live stream on Monday. We'll be doing it from, I believe, 5 to 10.
No.
That's Tuesday. Tuesday. And then Monday, we're doing Tuesday.
Sorry. Hey, can we have a failure Monday alert sound, please? Can I have a
Monday, we're actually doing prayer.
Yes, thank you.
From 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sorry, I got my days mixed up.
Okay. So
anyway, we'll be doing prayer from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. here in the kids'.
Okay, so guys, let me make the announcements.
On Monday the 4th.
Can I make the announcements, please?
This guy.
Guys, listen, on Monday here at Open Door Church, from 8 in the morning until 8 p.m., we're having all-day prayer. If you want to come and if you want to pray for this nation. Which, by the way, Ben, did you see in the news yesterday, Somerville County, which is where you and I live, has the highest turnout rate of any county in the entire state or the entire nation of Texas.
Which is wild because it's like one of the smallest. It's one of the smallest counties in Texas.
Wow. So we had the highest percentage. And I want to just tell you this, man. If anybody in there suspects that you're voting for Kamala, the Ugandan giant, I'm telling you right now, you go. If anybody suspects that in any way whatsoever, you ought to see the kind of rebellion that takes place in there. I'm like, I don't think you guys, I mean, dude, when you peg my cringe meter, you've done something. You go in there, man, and everybody's in there going, hey, we don't want you voting. We know who you're going to vote for. Like, hey, dude.
Wow.
You're like, you're not allowed to do that, you know? And so, anyway.
Yeah, mind you, the cops are sitting there laughing.
Yeah.
They don't do anything about it. They just start laughing.
I'm just like, God, I love that there's still some Texas left in Texas.
Come on.
I'm so grateful for that. So, anyway, I was very happy about that. And then Tuesday, guys, we are having our very special election watch, and we're going to be inviting people to call in. We're giving away prizes. We're having special guests. We've got the Buller Room prayer vigil going on during that time. That's going to be Tuesday, and it's exclusive from 5 until 6 o'clock for third stage, and then from 6 until 10 p.m. or perhaps even later for the rest of the grand public.
Yeah, and we're going to make it a big deal. We're going to share it around. We're going to promote it a lot. So please help us in that and promoting it with us. We can't be the only ones promoting it. So get your friends here. Get your family involved. Let this be the place that you turn to be able to tune into your news that night, because we'll be updating you throughout it. You don't have to go to mainstream media. You can come right here to Open Door Church and see what we're doing here on the Pulse 24.
Before we invite our special guests, let me say this too, guys. We are about to rescue three kids.
Come on.
We're about to have three rescues this week. I have a team of people that's leaving for Mexico tomorrow, and we met with them this morning. We prayed for them this morning. I'm going to be able to give you those reports, and so I'm not afraid to ask you to stand with us. Please call the number, call 877-413-0888. And as you do that, if you call in and if you give, I don't know, I don't even really know how to do that. How should I do that? Just give something, right?
Yeah, or $47.
47.
Oh, 47.
Yeah. 47. Right,
battle for 47.
Come on, the battle. Let's start it early.
The battle for 47.
I tell you what, guys. Anybody that calls in and gives $47, I will send you an autographed book of Leanna's latest book. I'll get her to sign it. She's watching right now. And is she Shepherd?
What? Is she actually watching?
Of course she is.
I think she's tired of you.
Now, she's probably on drugs. Now, she had...
Please give context.
Let's give context.
A little context. She had surgery yesterday.
Let's say medication.
Okay. Yeah, she's probably... And Leanna is the kind of girl, man, that if you give her an aspirin, it knocks her out for a week. I mean, she's like that. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do any kind of dope whatsoever. And I... Listen, the only inheritance I got from my dad was hospice drugs. I held on to those just in case. I mean, you never know.
Pharmacia.
Yeah. There is a spirit with that. Pharmacia. Do not think there is not a spirit and a demon that goes with dope.
Yeah, there is.
I promise you.
Do you save it to barter, like in case something goes down? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. It's like, you know, I need a dozen eggs. You know, here's a Valium. Never know.
Times might get really weird.
You never know. No, dude, there is a spirit that goes with dope. I want to tell you that there is a spirit that goes with it. In fact, there was actually a movement in the body of Jesus recently. It took about a 5-year thing where people were actually doing shrooms and trying to get prophetic.
Yep.
What they got was pathetic. They missed the prophetic part and they got pathetic is what they got. And dude, you know what? They gave open access to all kinds of things within the demonic realm.
They're entering through a different gate.
Ooh, talk about that.
You're a thief.
Yeah, you're a thief and a robber. Mm. It's they're trying to access divine knowledge through a means that has been outlawed by our God.
Like the Oracle of Delphi.
Yeah. They were standing over that little area where they were getting high.
That's exactly right.
They literally were getting high.
They're getting high and they're getting sexed up. Which is what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It is sexual magic. It is drug magic. It's horrible.
Yeah.
And for any people of God to think that they can be engaged in those things and that it'd be okay, my gosh, the level of deceit.
You're rolling the dice because you think you're trying to get access from...
10-4.
Wow.
Troy's on fire today.
I just ate
brothers eating 10-4. Wrappers. getting his iron in today.
I'm going to have a goat tooth.
A gold tooth, one way or another.
Okay.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so I think that we're about ready to switch over. Yeah, we're going to bring our special guest on.
We've traveled many places already.
Before we go behind the veil, though, I want to bring him on, and then we'll go behind the veil with him. Is that okay?
Yeah, do you want to play a rescue video while we make that switch so our audience can see some of the awesome work we do here at Open Door Church?
Let's do that. Recently, I was in Uganda, East Africa, and we were just driving along, and all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, look. And then I look out the window, and boom, I see all these little blue tarps on the side of this mountain, and I asked, what is that? And they said, it's a refugee camp for people who have been displaced by the terrible flooding that has come in. Now, look, you can imagine that the poor people are the people that are displaced because they live in the worst parts, and they live in the flood zones, and then whenever the terrible floods come, they lose a lot of lives, they lose family, they lose their homes, they lose everything. Well, the Ugandan government actually gives them land, and then they give them blue tarps, and they say, you're welcome to build something here. But of course, they have to come up with all that. We went and bought several thousand dollars worth of groceries, and we took it there. We went from tent to tent, talking to people, meeting people, seeing beautiful smiling faces, beautiful little boys and little girls, people wondering, what in the world are these people doing? Who are they? And we were like, Jesus has arrived. Today, the kingdom has come to your house. And then the chief there began to ask me, hey, would you please build a school here? Could you please build a church here? Then we talked to a doctor and said, we want to do a medical clinic. Look, these people have nothing. He said, come here, I want to show you something. He gathered up all of the 12 and 13 and 14 year old girls that he could find. Every single one of them had a child. Why? Because they're vulnerable, because they're unprotected, and because they need the body of Jesus to stand up and to be the hands and feet of King Jesus. Friends, I want to tell you, we did that. We made some huge commitments. We put down a lot of earnest, if you can imagine, in putting together food outreaches and a weekly thing there. We are already brought in school teachers that are going to start teaching them even before we get the building up. Friends, I want to encourage you to get into the fight. Simply go to odx.tv and help me rescue thousands and thousands of more people.
Well, friends, the fight is on all over the world, and one of the places that I want to focus and highlight on during this broadcast is Uganda. We've been in Uganda since 1995. We've been doing a work there. We have rescued thousands of children. We have three monster campuses. One of our campuses supports over 50,000 people, one campus. And we have thousands and thousands of kids in our schools. We have an untold number of people that celebrate the fact that we have built water wells there and schools and churches and medical clinics and all the things. And you just now got through seeing this story of the Lord just said, look, and I looked and we came across all these people living in blue tarps, about 200 families. And now we're like, okay, well, let's plan on doing an outreach. So we did an outreach. And then we're like, now let's plan on doing this on a monthly basis. We started doing it on a monthly basis, buying more than $10,000 worth of food, sending it in there, making sure that these people were fed. And like, now we got to protect all these vulnerable girls, because every 13 and 14 and 15 year old girl that was in that place, they all either had babies or they were pregnant. And I'm like, nope, we can do better than that. The body of Jesus can answer this evil with the goodness of God. And then we sent Pastor David Musichwa and his team over there to access, okay, where can we build a school? We had somebody donate 14 acres of land to us. We got 14 acres so we can build housing. Now, let me tell you why we have to do that immediately, because this happened. Friends, this is one of my friends that we actually work with, and we got her a phone, and she took this video with the phone that we got her. And it was, they got 20 inches of rain, just like North Carolina. And she went running over to it. A monster river of water came through that very camp. It's so demonic.
Wow.
And washed the entire camp away. There was no river there before. There was nothing there before. She's crying. She's like, whoa, because what little bit they had has been washed away. Okay, guys, this actually happened. Okay, these are people. These are good people. These are people that have been so devastated. And friends, I'll tell you what, we got to help them. So we found a guy
that we brought in. You can imagine we have tons of building teams in Uganda. Can you guys imagine that? So we do. We've been building there for a long, long time. We have construction teams. We have construction workers. We have a water well company. We have all those things within Uganda. We put together and said, what can we do to start building immediate housing? Now, it's temporary housing. It is not a forever home. It is temporary housing. And gosh, I'm trying to remember how much it is. There's two sides of it. So you can put two families in each one. Guys, is it $30,000 or is it $25,000? You guys,
30.
It's $30,000. So $30,000, we can build these houses. And guys, they're nice houses. Now they're not forever homes. They're not forever homes. But I mean, I would move in it. I mean, I certainly to get these people out of there. They're brick homes. They have a bathroom. They have a kitchen. They have a living room and they have a bedroom. And it's about 800 square feet on each side. So we're talking about a 1600 square foot house with two bathrooms, two kitchens, two bedrooms, and a wall that goes right down the middle. Again, to get people off the ground, to get them out from under their blue tarps and to get them into a place where they can lock the door at night to keep their young women who are vulnerable safe. Mm. Friends, help me do that. If you can help me in any way towards each one of these $30,000 homes, let's do it and let's give it away. And guys, we had 14 acres donated to us. It's us. It really is incredible. Wow. So we got to do this, guys, for 200 families. 200 families.
And these are refugee?
They are refugees. Okay. And understand the reason why they are there is because they lived on the river way up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And they're, you know, the poor people live in the most vulnerable places. And then the floods come through and then wash them away. So the government provided the land for them.
Okay.
And then this flood happened.
Wow.
So we're going to move them onto our property. That's what it is. Okay. And we're going to build a church. We're going to build a school. And we're going to build a medical clinic there. That whole project is, you know, I don't know. I'd say probably, not counting all the temporary housing we need to build, that's probably a $1 million to build the church, to build the medical clinic, and to build the school. Yeah, that's going to be well over $1 million. So I don't have it, but I've got a yes in my spirit, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to do that. So guys, give. Call the number that's on here and tell them, hey, you know what? I want to give, and I want to help Pastor Troy. And then you know what we'll do? We'll send you an autograph-free book, and then my teams will also, over in the calling center, they will actually text me and tell me, so-and-so just called, and they gave such-and-such, and so-and-so just called, and they just gave such-and-such. Please, please, please help me with that. Awesome. All right.
So awesome.
Well, joining me here today is a guy that I just preached in his church. And it was really good. I promise you, it was good.
It was.
Now, this guy has a church in Mesa, California.
Arizona.
Arizona. That's what I said. Just seeing if you guys are listening. Everything is on purpose and calculated. Okay, you have a church in Mesa, Arizona.
Yes.
You have a wife and five children. You got such a beautiful family.
Yes.
You started off as a Spanish speaking church.
Yeah. Oh, look at that.
Look there. Yeah. There's the old fam right there. That was last week. Dun, dun, dun. There's your mom. Your mom looks younger than I am, man. I don't know what that's all about. And so anyway, man, that was in your house. And after I just got through eating all of your food, which was wonderful. We did three services on Sunday. You started off as a Spanish-speaking congregation, strictly, and then you moved into having two English services because you were actually born in Mexico City.
Yes.
And you have a tremendous food outreach program. I've been to one of your food outreaches before. Yeah. You have a food bank. You have a homeschool school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a lot of support for the community. You're such, you even have an orphanage in Kenya where I'm a Uganda guy. You are a Kenya guy.
Neighbors. We're neighbors.
Yeah, we are neighbors. Yeah. Now I want to tell you, my experience with Kenya has not been good. I've been there three times and I was robbed all three times. That's true.
Yep.
Was literally robbed all three times. And the last time I was robbed, I was like, never again. If I cannot arm myself in this nation, I ain't coming back to it. So anyway, you know, I just don't. You got your own nations, man. Have you ever been robbed in Kenya?
No. I was going to say, it would make it hard to go back again. I've been there three times and all three times have been pretty easy, smooth, safe.
I've been robbed. And one of them was ugly to me when he robbed me and I'm still offended at him.
Oh my God.
He said not only did he call me bad names, he made me say a bad word and I had to repent to King Jesus. then the last time was the maddest I got when I got robbed, and it was at the freaking airport.
No.
And dude, wow. So the deal is, I went to Rwanda. Check this out. Benjamin Diaz, pastor of Vita Church from Mesa, Arizona. I was down in Rwanda, and we've been doing a work in Rwanda. We went from Uganda to Rwanda, and we were there for a while. And then from there, we went to Kenya. And when we get in Kenya, they got this racket. And the racket is, you can, if you have Rwandan, you can only transfer it into Kenyan money. And then from the Kenyan money, you have to transfer it into American dollars. Mm. Okay. So they take a percentage out of both of that. Right. You can't mm-hmm. just, yeah, yeah. you can't just, well, actually you're in Kenya. So you can't switch Rwanda money to it has to be Kenyan money. And then we'll be happy if you'll walk over to that window and take now your Kenyan money that we just took half of it away from you. Now you take it over here to this window and you drop it down in here. And now we will transfer that into a few of your American dollars. I put that big wad of money that was up there. And, you know, in Kenya money and Uganda, it's a big pile of money, even if it's not much money, right? You know how it is. I put it up there. And this guy behind the counter, he was looking at it like this. He started rubbing his face like Kamala Harris, you know, during the debate. Starts going, he's just looking at me. He looks over at me. And I thought, what are you doing? And he does this. Frank. And he just closes the window and locks the door and walks away with my money.
No.
That was at the airport, and that was a bank at the airport.
No way.
Yeah. I start, man.
He was very contemplative.
Yeah, he was. He was
what does that even mean?
Contemplative? It means he can't have children.
We're not behind the veil yet.
So listen, we're about to go behind the veil. Benjamin Diaz.
That has never happened to me.
No. Yeah, well, I'm glad. No, I'm glad that hasn't happened. You got hundreds of beautiful kids over there.
Yes, we have a lot of children over there. We're building more homes. We're in the process of building a school. And so, pretty excited.
There you go, man. Yeah. Wow. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's nothing more beautiful. There's nothing more beautiful than a church that supports tons of other people that will never go to that church.
Exactly right. They might never even meet them. Yeah. I think that's such the heart of the Father. It has to be, like, so selfless, you know? They won't get any kind of reward, like, not even.
Yeah, if you're giving to this, it's not... It's not for political gain. It's not for look what I've done or whatever, because you're never even going to meet these people. Yeah.
And our church started giving to that before we even had a building fund. Mm-hmm. A lot of them didn't understand it at first. They're like, we need a building. I'm like, the Lord said orphanage fund first.
Yeah.
We've raised close to $1 million over the years for that orphanage.
That's amazing.
Before we ever even had a church building. We were in the storefront. So.
That is amazing, man.
Yeah. Our church is awesome.
Now, you do have an awesome church. Yeah. I feel so at home when I'm at your church.
That's so good.
I feel so at home, and sometimes I get a little bit too loose like I do here on my broadcast. This is my podcast. So I'm going to say whatever I want to say. Yeah. Right on. I'm going to be respectful and represent King Jesus. But dude, I'm going to be me.
Yes, you need to be you.
Doesn't the world need me to be me, Brian Schwartz?
It needs the authentic you.
Yeah, it does. It does. Listen, we all need to be authentic and we need to be real. Now, I do try and be funny because I think I'm funny. It gets on a lot of people's nerves. I get a lot of hate mail over all that, but I enjoy it.
You open that.
Part of it, dude. I mean, part of it is the stuff we're doing is it's intense.
It's intense,
brother. That's so. If you're gonna have some moments where you're just gonna,
I'm not gonna take me seriously.
Yeah,
I know what to take seriously.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to take me seriously. Yeah. I know me, and there's no reason for me to take me seriously.
Yeah. But you have to have those moments of laughter.
No, we carry joy. You actually taught on that today.
That was good.
And it was so good. Give us a highlight of what you said to the to our pastoral staff this morning.
Well, we were talking about joy and how it's a need. Like you can't lead without joy effectively. You can't build things that are going to last and, without joy. There's no impartation without joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so many people are running, losing their joy for such little, easy, cheap things. They just let go of their joy and now they have a terrible day and they become inefficient and they feel weak and so we need the joy of the Lord because it's our strength. And when we're feeling strong, we can get a lot done and that comes too. But,
Okay, I want to talk about that. I don't know if this is being answered or not, but I just see a question here. Elizabeth says, yeah, how do we donate to that online app, or is it Spark or Troy Burr Ministries? I never know, so I'll alternate. Now, this is a Troy Burr Ministries thing, and also, too, you can give by calling the number or by going to the app or just going to odx.tv. Okay, so when you spoke this morning about joy, that was one of the things that you said about us. And, I mean, we had a very intense meeting this morning. And you were in on that meeting.
Yes.
And I mean, we went through a lot of stuff, yes. Right? Like boom, 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 yeah. Boom, boom. But we maintain our joy in those meetings.
Yes. And you, I think, you know, I feel like I was preaching to the choir because you do an excellent job of bringing joy in, even in the serious things. You know, there's no reason to kick joy out the window, even when you're talking about the serious things. You know, Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness, of joy above everybody else. That means that he carried joy wherever he went, no matter, you know, the stuff that was tough. And so when you're going through those difficult things, you need joy. And when something comes and the enemy tries to zap your joy, we need to return to joy quicker every time. And so I love joy. I love laughter. That's why I love hanging around with you and Brian. And
we've had some good laughs.
We stayed up to 1 o'clock in the morning the other morning, you yes. and I, he did.
Yeah.
Sitting on the back porch. Yes. And dude, we laughed our head off until 1 o'clock. And what's amazing is that anytime that we're together like that, we might spend a few minutes bawling over the last tragedy that we have just encountered because we're open to that, because we have to, we don't just share in the joys of life, we also share in the sorrows of life,
right.
Because that's what Jesus does.
Yeah.
And we help hurting people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, I actually said this at your church, and a lot of people are like, well, we can't help hurting people because hurt people. What a wuss. Like, that's why you never learned to ride a bike, because you're scared you get hurt.
Yes.
Who cares if you get hurt? Get up.
I tried, but
you did. Off. No, you did bust your teeth out and all that kind of stuff, but I encourage you to do it again. And then, you know, it's like the worst thing that can happen is I might get hurt. I might get disappointed. No, that is not Jesus. That's like, right. No, man, you will get hurt, but you know what? You offer your body. You know, you are a professional football player. Mm-hmm. You have to sacrifice your body. You are expected to get hurt.
You're expected, and you have to partner with pain. We had to learn how to actually take pain and it become an asset, because you got to live with it every day. So you either figure out how to live with it and partner with it and grow stronger through it.
Or you leave professional football.
Yeah, or you're done.
Mm-hmm. You're telling me you want to play at a high level.
That's right, buddy.
But you want to avoid pain?
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? Yeah. Really and truly, guys, I want to just, can I just talk to all the church leaders out there? Do not teach your church to avoid pain.
Yes.
No one is rewarded in heaven by how skillfully they avoid pain.
That's right.
Like, I don't want to live in pain. I don't like being hurt by all the things that, you know, we're a part of. But it is also a terrible privilege to get to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not like I have this fascination with, you know, sorrow and pain. No, it's that it is a present part of the reality of every single one of our lives. And I want to know how to be an overcomer in the midst of it.
And the problem is people don't know how to deal with pain.
Mm-hmm.
And most people think of pain as like, oh, I'm going to stay like this. And it's just going to go downhill from here. And I'm going to be depressed. And that's not true. You don't have to. You know, some people say pain is weakness leaving the body, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so many ways to look at pain, like you said, as an asset. But just like training yourself, like, okay, this is painful. I got into it, but I can get back into joy, you know?
Can I tell you why so much of the woke leadership in the body of Jesus avoids pain? Because you can't fake it when there's pain.
You can't.
You either
have to mask it or avoid it or take something for it, take a shortcut. Mm. But pain, like just as an athlete, pain wasn't a problem. It actually indicated where I can get help.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When pain shows up, it's there for a reason.
It's to tell you, an area of your life that needs attention.
That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. And same
thing.
So when
you try to avoid that, you're avoiding growth. You're avoiding healing.
Yeah. That's why addictions, you know, what do? They numb the pain. And numbing the pain never fixes the source of where that pain is coming from.
Listen, guys, we're about to go behind the veil And as we go behind the veil, which is exclusive to ODX members at stage two or stage three, we're about to go behind the veil. That always looks like the word veil to me. That's just strange. I can't believe that there's not an A in the word veil. It just, it freaks me out. Every
there
time
is
I see
a
it,
veil that has an A in it.
Is there?
It's a place, isn't it?
It's a place.
Yeah. Oh, Colorado.
Yeah, veil.
What does that mean? What kind of veil is that?
Yeah, let's go behind the veil.
I will.
We'll discuss.
But let me make a few announcements first. There's no reason to rush me, Sean. There's no reason to rush your old man. See?
Oh, yes, there is.
No, there's not. There's not.
There's always reason.
Tis podcast. Ben always gets me off my train of thought, and it always does. I forgot what I was saying. It was very brilliant.
You're
what I was saying.
What veil meant.
Yeah, veil. But it was veil. Anyway, before that, though, I was saying something before I got distracted by the word veil. Like there's an E in it, and there should be an A in it. Anyway, guys, I'm going to go behind the veil. I'm going to go with this guy. And when we do, we're actually going to be talking about, I am going to share the blunt and brutal truth about the borders being open the way that I did at his church on Sunday. I'm going to be talking about also, too, about how that his church is a church that can receive a hard message and still receive it in love. And we're going to be talking about that because he's really good at that as well. Okay. So, Ben, do you have anything that you want to close us out on?
Yes, guys. Make sure to go ahead and call the number for more information about Monday night and, Monday during the day and Tuesday night. You do not want to miss that. Again, if you didn't hear the announcement earlier, Monday we'll be having prayer day all day long from 8 o'clock until 8 p.m. You can show up for more information. Again, go to odx.tv or call 877-413-0888.
Slow down when you talk.
Well, you caught me off guard. I was reading what veil meant. Pamela Aubrey actually put it in here.
It's very prophetic.
Well, it really is.
No, it is. A veil refers to a valley or lower area between hills. It often carries a poetic or literary connotation, symbolizing a peaceful scene of landscape. It also can represent a place of transition, sorrow, or reflection. So it's a veil. It's a low place. In the Bible, it's a pleasant place.
Okay. That's outstanding, man.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, man, we are going to go behind the veil. We are going to do that. Do you have anything you want to say before we close up here?
I do not.
You do not? Brian Schwartz, thank you so much for joining me.
Of course.
And Ben, thank you so much for joining me.
Jeez.
Guys behind the screen, so Zach Rippey, Rebecca Taylor, right behind the screen. Everybody that is joining me on Facebook and on YouTube and on X and all those kinds of things, guys, listen, we're going to go exclusive now to odx.tv. And if you are already there, stay right where you're at.